Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to John chapter 19. As you're turning there, in 1 John 4, in the end part of verse 17, the Word of God says that as He is, so are we in this present world. As He is, so are we in this present world. Have you ever asked yourself, how is that even remotely possible? That as He is, so am I in this present world. I would think that most Christians would say, I'm nowhere near as He is in this present world or otherwise. But the Bible says it, and we'll give it a nod, that we think to ourselves, I know that I am not as He is in this present world. Because I know what I was thinking when I was driving in the fast lane today and that guy was driving so slow. And I said to myself, I am not as He is in this present world. But God says something different. God says, as He is, so are we in this present world. Now, that is not talking about a representation. Often we think we are here to represent God. God does not need my representation. God is perfectly capable of representing Himself. So what does that mean? As He is, so are we in this present world. And that explanation starts in John chapter 19 and in verse 30. There it tells us that as Jesus was dying, after He had received a little bit of vinegar to drink, He said, it is finished. And then He lowered His head and He gave up His spirit. It is finished. The word there, finished, is the word tetelestai. It means to complete, to bring to fullness. The grammar there is perfect passive indicative. Indicative means it's a dogmatic reality. Passive voice, the subject receives the action of the verb. The perfect tense is what we're interested in here. Perfect tense done once in time, then completed, never has to be repeated again. It's just completed for good. When did this take place? How many people are saying it took place about 2,000 years ago? All right, let's look at that. We have to be careful that we apply the Word of God correctly. It was not 2,000 years ago. And people, of course, will hear that and say, well, that's nonsense. Jesus lived about 2,000 years ago. Yes, He did. He was crucified about 2,000 years ago, just under 2,000 years ago. Yes, He was. As a matter of fact, 2029 will be 2,000 years since His crucifixion. So how can I say it was not 2,000 years ago? Because in Revelation 13:8, the Lamb was slain from the foundation of the world. The first and last words of the Savior were, it is finished. The Word of God tells us in the Revelation chapter 1, at the very beginning of the chapter, He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. This is one of those instances where the principle of creation relativity has to be taken into account. If you don't understand that principle, go to Amazon, get the book. It's only 99 cents called Creation Relativity. It will totally change the way you see the Word of God. It is finished. Took place from the foundation of the world. The world was established on it is finished. It's a perfect tense. Happened one time and happened for good. The word from the foundation, the Lamb was slain from the foundation. By the way, the word slain there in the original language is also perfect passive indicative. Same grammar as it is finished. The lamb was slain. Perfect tense. Happened once and for all. With continuing results never to end. From is the word epo, and foundation is the word kataboles, and the world is the word cosmos. These are the same words that is also used in Hebrews 4:3, where the works were finished from the foundation of the world. The word finished there in Hebrews 4:3 is genethenton in the original language. It means to come into existence. You don't think of that word finished as meaning to come into existence, but that's what the language is saying. Finished is not a great translation there. The works came into existence from apo, the foundation of the world. Apo means the origin of a cause. This is very different than you think in a casual reading. This is why it's important for people to rightly divide the word of truth. Apo, the origin of a cause. Finished. The works came into existence here. Foundation, kataboles. How many people think that it's talking from the foundation of the world? Means at the beginning of the world, this took place. No. Kataboles, a foundation of a structure, a building. It means to lay down a foundation. You have a foundation, and you build a skyscraper on that foundation. That's the type of foundation it's talking about. World is the cosmos. It can mean world system, yes. It can also mean the universe. Why is it that as yes are we in this present world? Because the works came into existence upon the foundation and original cause of the slain lamb. When Jesus said it is finished, the entire universe was built upon that. Genesis 2:7, out of the dust of the ground, God created man and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Ground, Adama, man, Adam. Adama has its origin in the word Adam, and it means to show blood. Out of the dust of to show blood, God created to show blood. The finished work of Christ is a foundation upon which everything in existence was established, including us. We were established on the finished work of Christ. Our lives were established on the finished work of Christ. When I say to myself, I am not as he is in this present world, I'm neglecting to take into account the finished work of Christ. No, dear. As he is, so are you in this present world. And really, I don't care what happened today. The lamb was slain, and the world was established, and your life was established on a slain lamb. Understand something. Your life cannot be separated from the finished work. Your plans cannot be separated. You may try, but they cannot be separated from the finished work. The details of your life, the things that happen in your life, whether you consider them to be good or bad, they cannot be separated from the finished work. And yes, I know some pretty horrible things happen to people, but they cannot be separated from the finished work. Let me give you an example. I love this example. It's heartbreaking, but it's really revealing also. There was a woman, I believe, in Indonesia. And she was extremely poor. And she lived in a garbage dump. She was a Christian lady. How many people would say, God, how can you let somebody who is one of yours, your children live in a garbage dump? Aren't you supposed to take care of your children? She lived in a garbage dump. Garbage dumps are often home for the poor in some places in the world. Because garbage dump has heat, and a garbage dump often has food. And it's not the kind of food most people would want to eat. But a lot of people who live in these places do eat that kind of food. And she would scour for food, and she would use the rotting garbage for heat when she would be cold. This wasn't a very friendly part of the world for a Christian. And she had pretty seriously atrocious things happen to her. I don't need to go into the details. And she cried out to God, "God, take me out of here." And God would not take her out of there. And people would say, "Well, that's pretty awful." And yes, I wouldn't wish that on anybody. Now, she would take food and she would make soup out of it. In that garbage dump, you had 3,000 people living there. All of them very, very poor. And the kids who lived there, she would feed them with the soup that she made. And she would tell these Muslim little children about Jesus. And these little Muslim children would go to their parents and they would tell them about Jesus. And after some time, 3,000 Muslims who lived in a garbage dump became Christians. Because this precious woman was as he is in this present world. What's interesting to me, sometimes grievously so, is the doctrine of prosperity. There is a doctrine of prosperity that's legitimate. But the way that the prosperity doctrine is taught today is not legitimate. When you hear pulpits saying, "God wants you to prosper, God wants you to be rich, God wants you to have a wonderful family, God's..." those things are all great, and God bless you if you have them. But God may just as easily put a person in a garbage dump and say, "As I am, so that person is in this present world." For that prosperity crowd, Jesus didn't have a place to lay his head. Foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, he said. But the Son of Man doesn't have a place to lay his head. How does the prosperity movement answer that one? And yet, he was the Savior. He was the great King. As he is, so are we in this present world. You take somebody who fails miserably. Maybe they have a life of sin. There's that one precious lady in Texas. She was a prostitute before she got saved, killed two people with an axe. She received the death penalty. She was on drugs. And she became one of the greatest testimonies of Christ in her generation. People heard about her from all over the world. The entire country here was talking about her, and people all over the world heard about her testimony from jail. And there was a move to get her out, and the Texas governor said, "No, I'm not going to change her sentence," because he was thinking of judicial order, and judicial order has its place in society. And so he didn't commute her sentence, and she was executed. But I'll tell you something, a lot of people came to get to know the mercy of God through that woman's life. Because as he is, so is she in this present world. Was he a murderer? Was he a drug addict? Was he a prostitute? What do you think of that? People say, "Well, no, he was perfect. He was sinless. He was perfect and sinless. And I'm telling you right now, he was a murderer and a prostitute." Why do I say that? Because in Ephesians 2:15, at the cross, we became one new man with him. And when we became one new man with him, Peter tells us that he took our sins on himself. As he is, so are we in this present world. What did he exchange for those sins? beauty for ashes. He exchanged beauty for ashes. As he is, so are we in this present world. Now the Word of God says in 2 Timothy 1:9, He saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. We were called because of the finished work at the point where the Lamb was slain. The foundation of the world, part of its foundation was the plan for our lives. Imagine that. Part of the foundation of the world took all the things that God knew would happen to us, whether good or bad, and He used those things in His perfect plan. Imagine that. He used those things in His perfect plan. The things that you think are so devastating, God used those things for your life in His perfect plan. And that's what the world was established on. Now here's the thing about that. The Word of God says in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5 that the blood has cleansed us from all sin. The Lamb was slain, and as the Lamb was being slain, the blood was being shed. What sometimes we have trouble understanding is how it is in Hebrews 8:12 that God does not remember our sins. In 1 John 3:20, God knows all things. Yet God does not remember our sins. How can God not remember our sins? Because of the blood. In Psalm 103:12, He removed them as far as the east is from the west. Now mind you, when the Lamb was slain, it was 2,000 years ago, it was the foundation of the world, it was today. One of the things that creation relativity shows us, and this is what Einstein gave us out of that, is that there is no difference between yesterday, today, and tomorrow. That the past, present, and future, the distinction between them, as Einstein said, is a stubbornly persistent illusion. There is no distinction. They all exist now. And this is demonstrable mathematically in physics. They all exist now. So how is it that my sins, which are removed as far as the east is from the west, are not remembered by God who knows all things? It's the blood. It's the work of the blood. Here it is. An essential component of the finished work is the blood that cleanses from sin. All of creation, all of our lives, the very plan. You see, you cannot separate the details of our lives from creation. They are a part of the fabric of creation. Each individual life out there is part of that fabric, and that fabric was laid upon the foundation of the slain Lamb, of the finished work. The Lamb that was not only slain, but the Lamb that shed His blood that cleanses from sin. It's like this. You have a table, and the table is time. And the things on the table are all the details of every person's life within time. And it was built by God. And what was put on it was put on there by God. Except the foundation, that which the table is made of, consists of the blood of Christ. In this example, the blood is like very strong, let's say, hydrochloric or sulfuric acid. Very strong acids. If something touches those acids, they will dissolve it immediately. And here is this beautiful table called time, and it is built out of the blood of Christ upon that foundation. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Be careful how you look at sin. Most people look at it incorrectly. Sin is not merely the violation of the law. That is a very elementary, simplistic view of sin. Sin is whatsoever is not of faith. As soon as whatsoever is not of faith enters into existence upon the table inside of time, it touches the blood of Christ. The blood removes sin as far as the east is from the west. How does this work? East from the west is that geographic reference, geography being made up of space, time. Time being perhaps even the greater component of space than vastness. God eliminated it out of time. This is one of the reasons why you cannot live by natural reasoning. Natural reasoning will say, I remember. And God says, cast down vain imaginations and high things that exalt themselves above the knowledge of Christ. Bring every thought into obedience. You see, I remember means nothing. I remember simply means that I'm not agreeing with God. God doesn't remember and He knows all things. When it says God forgets, it literally means God forgets. When the Word of God says in 1 John 1:9 that if you confess your sin to God, He is faithful and just to forgive it, that word forgive actually means forget. God instantly forgets it. Why? Because the blood of Christ has eradicated it out of time in Psalm 103:12. As He is, so are you in this present world. It's all based in the finished work. I wish more than anything else that Christians would get their minds around the finished work of Christ. That things like sin are not an issue. Effort is not an issue. Law is not an issue. Striving to be right with God even is not an issue. None of those things are issues. As He is, so are we in this present world. I'll never forget the testimony of that one man. It was a neurologist. This happened a few years ago. He had E. coli or something like that infecting his brain. And he went into a coma. He wrote a book about this. And the doctors hooked up machines to his head to check his brain waves to see if there was any brain activity at all. And there was zero brain activity. He was 100% brain dead. Now this man, who is not a particularly what you would call devout Christian, but obviously he got saved somewhere along the line, went to heaven. And he met his sister, who he didn't know that he had, because he was separated from her when he was very young. He was adopted. And he found out after the fact that his sister had died a few years prior to this event. And he met his sister, who he didn't know. And one of the things that she told him, as he was brain dead, having these experiences in heaven, she said to him, "You can do no wrong." How many people would think to themselves, "I can do all kinds of wrong"? But she said to him, "You can do no wrong." If you don't understand the finished work, that's going to strike you as a very strange statement. Now, I'm not commenting on the veracity of his experiences although I personally believe they were legitimate. But the fact of the matter is that that report that he gave was correct. You can do no wrong. Because all sin is eradicated from time. And if you say to yourself, I remember my sin, then I say to you, cast down those imaginations and high things that exalt themselves above the doctrines of Christ. And bring your thoughts into obedience to the Word of God. Let your memory be God's memory, because God's memory is reality. You know, we really are as He is in this present world. You know, there was one man in history who truly deserved to die. Do you know who that was? It was Jesus. Why would that be? Because we became His body at the cross. And every sin that had ever been committed hung on His body. He deserved to die. If sin was what the penalty was about. The beautiful thing about that is that He took it from us and He cleansed us with His blood. Who is the blood really for? Yes, it cleanses us. But just as much as it was from us, it was for Him. Because our sins were on Him. Can you imagine the one thing worse than dying in your sins is dying in everybody else's sins? Jesus shed His blood all over His body. Now we are the body of Christ. But my sins were on Him. And He could have died in my sins if it were not for the blood. They were all removed, eradicated out of time. That's what it means in Psalm 103:12. Eradicated out of time. So the sin never existed. Now, if you don't understand the principle of creation relativity, this is going to be a hard statement for you to receive. But if you believe the Word of God, and you understand a very small amount of physics, then this reality will become obvious. Relativity is written all throughout the Bible. My personal favorite is 2 Peter 3:8. A day is as a thousand years, and a thousand years is a day. That is a relativistic statement if one ever existed. It's all about relativity. The finished work is about relativity. Creation was about relativity. Not relativity as in relative righteousness sort of relativity. Einstein's relativity. If you don't understand time, you will not understand how God did things. The fact that yesterday and today and tomorrow exist simultaneously, the fact that the entire past, the present, and the entire future exist simultaneously, makes it very easy for me to understand how the blood of Christ was the foundation upon which creation was built. Let's look at it this way. In Isaiah 46:10, he declares the end from the beginning. And from ancient times, he declared the things that would be, even though they are not yet. And then he says, my counsel will stand, and I will do all my good pleasure. Why could he say that? Because it was true in the beginning as much as at the end. There was no difference. Now consider something. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Why is that? The finished work. Why could David say to God, prove me. Prove my righteousness, God, prove me. See that I'm perfect before you, God. Can you say I am perfect before you? And I'll guarantee you that most people would say, no, I cannot say I am perfect before you. But I'm telling you that every born-again, blood-bought believer is perfect before God. Do I make mistakes? Of course I make mistakes. Now how can I be perfect? Because the blood of Christ eradicates my mistakes from existence. Do you think my mistakes are new to God? There is no difference between the past, present, and future. The fact that I may make a mistake today was already dealt with. And the world was established. And the moment that something touches the table with the acid on it, that acid will dissolve what touches it. The moment that I sin, my sin is dissolved by the blood of the Lamb. And it's dissolved out of eternity. That's what it's saying here. It's dissolved out of eternity. Out of all time. You cannot say I was like this. That's not possible. Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of, not my own, of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Who lives? Christ lives. Then who am I? I'm one new man with him, Ephesians 2:15 and 16. It happened at the cross, and when I joined him at the cross, I became the new creature of 2 Corinthians 5:17. Tell me something. Does God order his own steps or not? Of course he does. Are we the body of Christ in 1 Corinthians 12? Of course we are. The steps of the good man are ordered by the Lord. How many people are worried about decisions? How many people are worried about mistakes? How many people become very anxious about their future? If you're a Christian, don't worry. Your steps have been ordered. Not that your steps will be ordered, your steps have already been ordered. And this person would say, well, do I have a free volition there? That's the beauty of it. Of course you do. But there is no difference between past, present, and future. You're seated above in heavenly places in Christ, who is seated at the right hand of God in eternity upon his throne. And you're right there with him, already in eternity. That's why the Word of God says he puts eternity in our hearts. You're already there. When he declares the end from the beginning, all he's doing is declaring your steps. Simple as that. Have you ever had a promise from God? Well, God, your Bible says that, and you name the promise. There's 8,000 of them plus. Your Bible says that, and he gives us a promise. Your Bible says that he will provide all my needs. Your Bible says that if I ask him, I will receive. Your Bible says that if I come to him and I ask him for guidance, I don't have to worry about anything more. Your Bible says so many things. Your Bible says, if I fall on my face in failure, you'll pick me up again. It says all kinds of things. A promise for every situation. Every single one of which the Word of God says in 2 Corinthians 1:20 is yes, amen. That's God's answer to His promise. God, will you? Yes, amen, I certainly will. Have you ever noticed that Jesus, when somebody came to Him, never said no? Can you imagine Jesus saying, no, forget it? Can you heal the sick? No, forget it. Isn't this what we... God, can you heal this guy? He's got an STD. Forget it. He made his bed, let him lay in it. It was never like that. The one man who was healed of blindness, Jesus said to him, don't sin anymore or worse things will happen to you. And some scholars believe, although it's not provable, that that was syphilis. It was an STD. And Jesus heals him anyway. Do you know why? Because he loved him. That's it. Because he loved him. God, I blew it. Can you help me? Yes, I can. And I will. God, I want $1 million. Can you give it to me? If you know how to handle it and still live in faith. That man's name was David. Not too many people are like that, though. But some are. God's Word, the Word of God tells us, in Psalm 119:89, it's forever settled in heaven. In Hebrews 1:3, He holds all things together by the Word of His power. Now, when the Word of God says, the Lamb was slain, and upon this the world was established, physicists, people like Craig Hogan at Fermilabs, very prestigious place, theoretical physicists who take on extremely difficult questions, come up with some remarkable answers. Increasingly, they're saying the universe is made of this fabric, which Einstein showed us, and the fabric is made of information. Strange thought, isn't it, that fabric should be made of information? But they're saying it's made of information. And if we knew how to decode it, we'd get an intelligent communication from it. Well, the Word of God says what that information is. It's His Word. The fabric of the universe is made up of the Word of God. He unrolled it like a drape. This is why the edges of the universe are moving faster than the center. That's what happens when you unroll a drape. 9 times the Word of God tells us that. And physicists have found that out. And they say that the universe folds. Well, I haven't seen too many drapes that wouldn't fold. And it's made of the Word of God. And the Word of God is telling us about the finished work of Christ, upon which the entire universe was established. This is why, as He is, so are you in this present world. Because you were made of the finished work. That's why Genesis 2:7 says, out of the dust of the show blood, God created to show blood. You are made of the finished work. Your life was made in all its detail from the finished work. What Jesus said on the cross when He said, "It is finished." That became the foundation of everything. When He says, as He is, so are we in this present world, we don't have to strive Christians are striving left and right, trying to be like God when they don't realize all they have to do is relax and receive from Him. They're already like God. In Hebrews 9:14, the blood of Christ purges our conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Where are dead works? Anything outside of the finished work is a dead work. The blood of Christ purges us from our efforts, purges us from the law, purges us from striving, purges us from all the things we think we must do to serve the living God. Dead works, my efforts, will not enhance my standing with God. The standing I have with God is established on the blood of the Lamb. And I'm already made of the blood of the Lamb. By the way, that's why you can never impute a single mistake, a single sin, a single anything to a Christian. Because not only does the blood of Christ cleanse us, we're made of the dust of to show blood. And the purpose is so that we could show blood. You're made of the very thing that gives you standing with God. The difference between a Christian and a non-Christian is that the Christian is willing to receive that. The non-Christian has his sins eradicated out of time. Just as much as the Christian does. But Jesus said about the non-Christian, I never knew you. In Matthew 24. I never knew you. Why? Because he doesn't remember sin. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. The non-Christian never had that moment of faith toward God. And so there was nothing left after the blood of Christ eradicated all sin out of time. There was nothing for him to know. Just like with our sin, there was nothing for us to know. When we read the story of the rich man and Lazarus, notice that God never gives the rich man a name. He's just rich man. Why? Lazarus was known by God. He was saved. The rich man was known by Lazarus, not by God. And so God only knew the rich man according to the way that Lazarus knew him. And he knew him as a rich man. So God said, there was this rich man that Lazarus knew. Jesus didn't know him. Lazarus did. That's why the unsaved are never saved. That's why there will be no memory of them. It's horrifying, but it's true. The very thing that they were made of, to forgive their sin, because there was never a moment of faith, became the very thing that took them away from time. It's horrifying. But then again, only the blood can change time. That's the thing about it. That all the sins of the world were removed from God. And we were made of that. You ever feel like you don't have standing with God after you make a mistake? How many people fail? And don't raise your hands. How many of you have failed, let's say, in the past 10 years? Because we know it never happens more frequently than that in anybody's case in this room. And then you felt kind of awkward and distant from God. Like you couldn't really approach Him at that very moment. Do you know the futility of that thought? How utterly incorrect it was? When God says, the moment it reached time, it was eradicated by the blood of the Lamb. David knew the mercy of God because he knew what God would do with every mistake he would make. He knew what it meant that as God is, so is David in this present world. And so David says to God, prove me. Try me and prove me. Because I know very well that as you are, so am I in this present world. Because I was made out of and for the blood of the Lamb. And so I have standing with you, God, because I am your body. Amen.